due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
When the music hits and you hear, "Break the walls down!" Your heart's going to beat a little faster. You're going to breathe a little heavier. You're going to get a little faint, a little dizzy. You're going to want to pass out because you're going to realize what you got yourself into and who you're facing. Me, your hero, your idol, the Ayatollah of rock and roll. The best in the world at what I do, the GOAT, Y2J, Chris Jericho, man!
This is Chris Jericho, the hero of the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you!
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for March 25th. Just a couple holidays today real quick. It's Pecan Day and coincidentally Waffle Day. A lot of times you can make those work together.
Is it pecan or pecan?
I don't know. Pecan it is. You're right. Pecan. Some people say pecan. Some people say pecan. You know what I mean.
I wasn't trying to make fun. I was asking an honest
question. Honestly, and I hear it every other way, so I just pick one to go into it. But so you can get your pecans on your waffles and kill two holidays with one shot. Welcome to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, and Double B Brian Burke. We have a special guest in the studio. Before I get there, I just want to let you know that happy birthday, Danger Boy.
Well, that's not till tomorrow, so you're a
little I know, but you know, we want the closest.
Premature is always.
Close.
He's been known to have that problem.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome to the show. Please leave tip your bartenders and waitresses. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's. There's no other birthday, so I figure I might as well mention Danger Boy turning half of 50 or no, half of 75. 70, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
Half of 75?
Half of 70.
It's a half birthday.
So it's his half birthday.
But you know, I got to say, you look much worse than your age, okay? So
it's coming up here every week for 18 years.
All right. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us April 8th for UFC 210 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. 10 p.m. start time. Get there early. You'll be hosted by Brian and drink specials all night long.
you're all going to be there, and I'll be at the bar. So everybody come join me at the bar, okay?
Come join Brian. Hang out with Brian and drink like some sort of pumpkin beer with him or something.
I forget, they did say that they're going to have some specials going on, and there will be, the girls were there the last time.
Oh, the Bud Light girls are there again?
I don't know which Stella ones, girls. But there are going to be some girls there with some deals going
on. Well, you know, it used to be ladies' night there when Salvatore's at the Garage Door did UFC. Now but it's always ladies' night there. So come on out April 8th at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 210. Hey, interested in roller derby, fancy yourself a skater, the job of being an official, more up your alley. Rock City Roller Derby needs you. And they were up here last week, which was really pretty cool. Contact them at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. Become one of us, the few, the proud Rock City Roller Derby. And I got to thank everybody who came out, man. We had a packed house last week. That was just amazing. For the home opener for Rock City Roller Derby last weekend. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming out. Now let's introduce the cast and crew. I already did that. We're going to go with the guests in the studio. We have Ron Falco joining us. Hey, Ron, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, not a problem. And Eric Eminon is in town.
Making my return to the show.
Yes. Ooh. Welcome back, guys. Thank you so much. IWF coming up this Friday in Brockport. Let's talk a little bit about, Ron, talk a little bit about the card.
Oh, man, this card is stacked from top to bottom. In the main event, you have Mark House defending the IWF title in a triple threat match against Mike Skyros and actually Brockport homegrown Jordan Lennox, actually more out in the Hamlin area, I believe. You got the man to my left here, Eric Emanon. He's got some issues with a new
I'm
guy.
Kick Kevin Cartwright right in the face.
He got hurt last time I was there.
My knee got wrecked, first by the Buffalo Club and then by Kevin Cartwright.
Yeah, it just didn't stop.
And then we actually have an eight-man cage match. You have Kevin Bennett and his team of goons, which is Tank Abram, sleazy little Mikey
Johnny Kayfabe.
Their manager, and Randy Philbrick against myself, Gavin Glass, Big Cat Lemmer, and Cody Diener. It's the first actual War Games cage match in IWF history.
Hey, speaking of the devil, I just walked in the studio. Your champion, Mark House. How's it going, Mark?
Good. How you doing? Sorry, public market gets a little busy in the morning.
Hopefully, hey, Mark, he's on time for his match.
Mark, you notice that he's pronouncing your name correctly now. We made sure of that.
I know. Thank you very much. Thank
you're welcome. I can see it in the back of your shirt, so I just enunciate it. Okay, but welcome. Yeah, we just talked about you're defending your title at this Friday night in Brockport.
Yeah, against Mike Skyros and Jordan Lennox. It's going to be it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting.
So we got three-way for the heavyweight title. We have a cage match, which I'm super psyched about, man. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, we get to see Mr. Eric Emanon down the end there.
Yep.
Get a little revenge for his knee getting all busted.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So we're going to be giving some more tickets away later on the show. I want to thank you guys for bringing up some tickets to give away later on the show. It's very cool. People can come out and see these guys. And like I always say with going to the Independence, man, there's not a bad seat in the house, especially in that place. I love that place. That is so cool.
Yeah, it's got a nice little, old ECW gritty kind of feel to it. You know, you got the food and the alcohol for the people to partake. And I just really want to take one real quick second to thank you and all your guys for the endless support that you do give IWF. Myself and everybody on the roster, we greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a great show every time, and it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and there's merch there too. You can get everybody's merch if you want to get their shirts, and we just saw a lot of surprises and very cool. Before I get too far away from it, I do want to remind listeners who are listening to the show that WWE just announced yesterday that they're coming back to Rochester for a TV show. Throwing that out real quick, they're going to be when's the date there, Danger Boy? You had all the info.
June 6th. Tuesday, June 6th, we are getting a live SmackDown.
So that means we get Luke Harper back in town. Oh, if he's still
there, we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe some roster shifting.
Yeah, so you'll be seeing the ads on that real soon on TV, but that's exciting. That I didn't think they were going to come back forever after that last show, you know? Just because it was, not that it was a poor turnout, but it was a little light, and they had quite a long time to sell tickets for that and everything, but... it was, and it's a TV show, so what is it going to be? It's going to be a sellout, pretty much, I'm guessing.
Well, it's one of those things where, it's been said that Rochester, I know Danger was talking, we were talking off air, Rochester, so supposedly a B-plus city where really doesn't matter what they bring. We have a decent turnout, but it has been one of those things where maybe numbers have been hurting because we haven't been shown the TV love.
Well, with that said, guys, WWE is doing just fine. I'd rather see you guys come out Friday night. I'd rather see you guys come out Friday night and support these local guys, and the WWE would just be icing on the cake because these guys are doing a lot and they deserve you to be there seeing what they're doing.
Just for that, if I survive the cage, I'm going to buy you a beer.
let me put it this way: I always pay for my ticket to go see IWF, and I'm really hoping to get WWE comps. Let's throw that out there.
Okay. I'm guessing that may happen. So we'll see how it goes as we get closer. But yeah, IWF is this Friday. And yeah, how did you ever discover that little arena? We were talking about that just for a second. It's just like, it's kind of like tucked away in that building, but man, it is a beautiful place.
It is a great place. I got connected to that by my cousin Scott. He's got a member on the board, and he knew I had been wanting to run in the, because I've run down in Letchworth, I've run in Buffalo, but I wanted to run closer to home. I wanted the local guys to get a feel, to work with me and, on a different level than just being in the ring with each other. So my cousin told me about it, and I walked inside and I looked at it. I looked at the dusty floor and, the bar in the corner and the drop down window for the food. And I was like, this is IWF to a core. We're a little different. We're a little edgier. We're a little more raw, but I mean, it is still, family friendly ish. So I mean, it just, it was IWF.
I remember the phone call I got the next day. Ron goes, I found the building. I was like, yeah. He goes, yeah, I'm going to sign the papers today. I was like, you just found it yesterday. He's like, no, man, I got a feeling about this. And then we had our first show, what was it, a year and a half ago now?
Yeah.
Pretty close to a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where just from that first show, the first match, you knew that that building was something special. Just the turnout, the feel, the vibe, the way the crowd reacts. Like, I don't think we've ever had a show where it's just been dead.
It just
feels like it's getting better and better and better and better with every show.
Well, you know, the building does give it a good feel, but I mean, it's, you know, the guys to my left and right that bust their butts and do what they do, and they take ownership of everything they do in the ring. And, you know, I think that really, like we were talking about off the air, I think that really, you know, parlays itself into the ring, and the people can feel the guys and the girls are having more fun because they have more ownership of what they do than probably a lot of other feds that they work in.
Absolutely.
How long, Ron, how long have you been doing wrestling? How long have you been involved in it?
Wow.
75 years. Yes.
half of 75.
Well, I will say your son. I will say your son was, what, like 8 when you started, and now he's like he's wrestling on the shows.
Yeah, my son was actually setting up chairs when he was 5 years old. He's turning 21 in August. So, I've been doing it. It'll be 15 years in May.
Wow. And and how did you discover locally? Was it NMW that?
No, actually, again, my cousin, thanks for all the broken bones, Scott. He goes, hey, I got a buddy that's running a show at the German House. So you want to go down? I've always been a lifelong wrestling fan. I mean, when people were Hulk Hogan fans, I was a Jimmy Snuka fan. But
yeah, me too. It's like, I'm a Ric Flair fan. I'll take him over anybody. I don't care. And Jimmy Snuka too. Even though he couldn't talk, but
no, you know, and then about 5-6 years ago, Hellcat and I got a chance to wrestle Snuka and his son. And that was like a lifelong dream. I've never been more nervous for a match. But so we go down to the German House show, and it was Ian Decay running a show. Guys like Rick Matrix were on it, Kid Justice, Dunn and Marcos.
That's when Rochester started to blow up independently. Yeah. That's when we had like 3 different indie groups here in town working.
Yep. And then about a month later, my cousin again calls me and says, hey, remember that guy Ian I introduced you to? He's opening up a school on Portland Ave. Do you want to go check it out? So I went and checked it out, and he's like, oh, you really should start training. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll train to be a ref or a manager or something. He's like, no, you're too big. I was like, well, let's start there and see where it goes. Yeah. And I've been doing it ever since.
And Brody Lee was there too with you, right?
Yeah.
I remember Brody was training there too.
Yeah, Brody Lee, Dunn and Marcos, Eric Everlast.
Dunn and Marcos were training a lot of the guys too.
Yeah.
They were coming off of the Ring, not Ring of Honor. Yeah, it was Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor,
the beginning of Ring of Honor. So you got quite a long history in this. I mean, I was going to say, we've been doing this show since 1998.
Yeah, you guys are coming on 20 years.
Yeah, that's insane. Ooh, it's insane we could talk about this business that long, especially when WWE bought everything out at one point. It looked like it was like, well, what are we going to talk about besides WWE? Nothing. So it's like, but you know, that's when I think the indies started blowing up here in town, too. It was right around the time that everything got bought out. So, you running the shows at Pineapple Jacks, too? I know you're involved in managing it and everything, right?
I actually originally, I was working for Upstate, and you know, I'm the bar manager at Pineapple Jack's, and I knew Pier 6 had been running shows, and they had stopped, and it had been over a year or so, and I talked to Mike Paris, and I was like, and I talked to Hellcat, and I was like, well, why don't we do this here, kind of be Upstate's NXT? So I ran it, and, I did everything there for about 2.5 years, and, you know, things just... I wanted to do things different. I wanted to do it my way. I didn't, I don't play well with others. So I didn't want anybody looking over my shoulder. So I left Upstate on great terms. You know, Hellcat and I are still friends. And I just decided to do IWF. I really don't like answering to anybody.
Sure.
I like to do things my way.
And then you went down to that bowling alley down there, and where is that, Pavilion?
Portageville,
that's right.
Yeah, Letchworth Pines.
Yeah, I've been there for bands before, so it didn't surprise me when I heard wrestling was going to be there, too. That's a great place because it's kind of like centrally located in New York, so people can come from every direction just to get there.
Yeah, there was probably 14 teeth in the entire audience.
Thank goodness they weren't heaving bowling balls at you guys, you know?
Well, you know, they could get kind of bad because I remember Gabe Saint was working for me, and, you know, there were a couple, you know, racist signs in the audience, and thank God that Gabe was as patient as he was back then, because most normal people would have climbed the guardrail and went after these people, but he held it together for me.
His approach was through and through, man. Gabe was a great guy. Yeah. He's always been a great, you know, always been a great hand out there, you know.
Hey, I got a question for you. Any of the three of you guys here. You got all these younger guys. And there's a lot of young kids coming out and watching your shows who obviously have an interest in wrestling. I know you got a pretty full roster. There's a bunch of guys wrestling. But what would you say to any of these younger guys and gals out there who are interested in doing this themselves? Where would they start? How should they go about it? I know there's got to be at least one school locally. What sort of guidance would you give them if someone was interested in doing that?
Starts off with finding a good school. Mark, you're still down at Upstate, right?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if
they got Upstate and they got Buffalo.
Yeah,
right,
if you were in Rochester, the place to be is Upstate. Right. For the school. I mean, bar none. Like, they've pumped out the most talent in the area. They've got the best teachers in the area. They've got the people that can get the job done to get you to the next level. Then you've got Grapplers Anonymous in Buffalo. Yep. That's run by Mikey Everynight and Brandon Thurston. Those two guys have been pumping out amazing athletes. Not just wrestlers, but amazing athletes.
Professionals.
When it comes down to it, it's not just about the wrestling. It's about the conditioning then. You know, it's about making sure that you have what it takes to go a full hour in the ring without being blown up, without, you know, putting anybody that's in the ring with you at risk. You know, they make sure when you come in to do your trial, you're running weighted bags upstairs, and, well, you get blown up, you can come back and try out again, and once you're conditioned enough to be in the ring, you know, you can do it. But yeah, it starts with finding a good school, and that's really the best advice that I could give, is find a trainer that's reputable. He's got, you know, good contacts, good names that he knows, because I know people who have been in this business for 7-8 months and they're getting tryouts. I know people who have been in this business for 2 years and they're getting tryouts. I know people who have been in the business 12-15 years and they're not even getting looks. It's all about who you know in this business, and finding, like I said, that initial building foundation. You know, you don't want to build on something that's broken. You don't want to build on something that's moldy and dusty and old. You want to build on something that's got a strong foundation for you to succeed.
Now, that's a question that you bring up by talking about that. The WWE, a lot of people you see in WWE, a lot of these new guys, they were actually mm-hmm. picked from other sports.
Yeah.
And they train them everything they need to know in the NXT down there in Orlando.
Yep.
Now, but for all the guys who are succeeding the best are the ones who are actually coming off the independents, who are going down there and being rushed up to the main roster. Do you think, do you think, and it's probably true, is to have a good, a good trainer before you ever go down there, before you learn the WWE way, is to walk in and know what you're doing in the ring at all times and being a good hand. I mean, it's amazing that some of these guys can, you know, get elevated up. Like, well, Braun Strowman's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Guy was a weightlifter, and they hired him as a weightlifter. He didn't know anything about wrestling. And then even when he was debuting on TV, he still couldn't wrestle a match. That's why they had all these smashes, you know, the 2-minute matches with him and everything. Yeah. He's learning now. I mean, he is learning now. But I mean, so it's like, would you say, if you wanted to be, you know, if that's your vision, is to be in WWE, is to learn on the lower level before you even try to go to NXT?
I would absolutely say to do that. 'Cause when you work with, if you go to NXT, and I mean, hands down, they have the best trainers in the world, best wrestlers mm-hmm. in the world, best trainers in the world. But when you're working on the independent scenes and you're up and down the highways like Eric, myself, and Mark, you work for different company owners, you work different styles of guys, and you're put in different situations. So it's not just homogenized. You're not just working the same thing, same mm-hmm. type of thing over and over. You're getting, you know, a whole array of different types of
building
settings. And if I go back to what you were saying, I don't have any details yet, but, you know, IWF will be opening a school in the near future. I just don't want to release any details yet because they have to be finalized. And to Eric and Mark can agree on this. The one thing, and I'll add on to what Eric said, to the young kids, stay humble. I don't care how much talent you have. Stay humble. Myself, I don't care how talented you are. If you walk into my locker room with an attitude, you'll never see the inside of my ring. Stay humble.
I think that's good. We're going to go to break on that. 222-1280, star 1280. If you have a question or a comment, you want to learn, maybe you can find out how you can learn to be a wrestler from these guys. And we got some great experience in the studio. We're going to talk a little bit. Yes. This is a man right here, by the way, who stayed humble and had to suffer many, many years before he ever got a second chance at WWE. Ty Dillinger here, local guy. So we got to go to break. We're going to go to break on his music as we count to 10. And we'll be back on the flip side. You listen to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
So with less than 2 weeks left until the biggest night of the year, the last thing I want is for my personal problems with Stephanie McMahon to distract from the ultimate thrill ride. I want friends talking about WrestleMania.
I like everybody that I wrestle. I'm a nice person. But when I get in that ring, that's when it changes. I'm in a whole different person when I get in the ring. That's what I tell people. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm me. But I'm a competitor. And I'm an extreme competitor. So when I get in the ring, it's a whole different person. And yes, I do hate everybody that gets in the ring.
With all due respect to The Undertaker, the only time I think about the dead man is when I picture him lying flat on his back in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania.
You don't care about what's best for business. You can't even make the tough decisions, Mick. So therefore, I'm going to have to do it for you. And there's something I've been wanting to say for a very long time. Mick Foley, I've got two words for you. You're fired!
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show, 1280 WHTK. Yeah!
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. We're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us a mere 2 weeks from today for UFC 210 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. 10 p.m. start time. Get there early. Hosted by us. Prizes and drink specials all night long. That's April 8th at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 210. I'm going to mention one thing about UFC 210. John Bones Jones is going to be in Buffalo that weekend. If you go to meetjohnjones.com, he's going to be doing $99. You can meet him, get a picture with him, get an autograph signature, and hopefully a couple nice words from him, too. Hopefully I bump into him. I'm going to be there early on that day writing out my press credentials, which thank you, UFC. Well, nevertheless, let's get back into talking about the world of pro wrestling. We were joined in the studio today. By the way, I'm the Cash Man. I am here with DC Dan Call, Double B Brian Burke, and also Danger Boy. And we're joined in the studio by Mark House, Ron Falco, and Eric Eminon.
Hey!
All from IWF Wrestling this Friday night, Brockport. They're going to be you guys have is there a subtitled name for the show, the IWF?
Shamrocks and Headlocks.
Shamrocks and Headlocks?
Not 2 or 2017, just Shamrocks and Headlocks.
Nope. All right, guys are looking forward to it so much. You guys get, I know, do you get like different people coming each show, or do you notice you have like the core fans, and then it's kind of building on that each show?
Core fans, absolutely. We got our core group of guys and girls, and then we end up getting more people each time. I mean, there's a handful of us that will hustle the hell out of tickets and always find one or two new people every single show, but for the most part, like, 75% of the crowd is core people.
Cool.
It's crazy because half my ticket sales are normally like core people, and then like I have like a rotation of people that buy tickets from me. So it's like I'll have somebody come one show and then not come for 2 months and then go, hey, what did I miss? And I'm like, well, you should buy tickets and show up.
I know that, Mark, you've been on the road. You're on the road virtually every weekend, right?
Like 3 shows a weekend now.
3 shows a weekend, so we got lucky to get you in town this weekend, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm on my way. As soon as I leave here, I got a show in Binghamton for Excite's 5th anniversary, and then I got BBWF on Sunday with Bull James.
Oh, Excites, they usually bring in some big names for those shows, right?
Generally they do. Today they're not as much because they're saving their pennies because they're going to have a big show on June 3rd at the baseball stadium, so they're going to be releasing some information for that, but today they got a pretty stacked card.
Very cool. And Eric, how about you? Usually on the road too.
Yeah, absolutely. I have 1 weekend off for the first time this year, which is nice. I get some time to relax.
So you come up and visit us, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I told you you guys could get off. Come on up anytime, right? You know?
Yeah, next weekend's going to be wild for us. We, like you said, we got IWF, and then I'm potentially hitting the road to go to Maine the next day, and that's going to be a 10.5-hour drive the next morning. So,
wow.
That'll be a fun one.
Very cool, very cool. And it's funny, and Ron, I mean, you're working in town here. I'm sure you can't travel as much, but you do get out. I know you get out to Buffalo.
Well, actually, last night I was in CWF in St. Catharines, where my son and I are tag champions. And tonight I actually have ESW in Buffalo, which has a stacked crowd with guys like Davey Richard.
Davey Richard's coming to Buffalo?
Yep,
wow.
Yep. Pepper Parks, who's now Braxton Sutter on TNA.
Yeah.
You got you know, Kevin Bennett, Space Monkey.
Ethan Page is going to be there.
Ethan Page is going to be there.
He's fighting Vince Valor tonight.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be a good Bill fight. Collier's, he's the champion.
That's
there,
a stacked show tonight within driving distance, folks.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You really got to get out. Last time, and this isn't even one of their bigger shows, they had 500 people jammed into the building. It was ridiculous.
I've seen pictures from it. It's like insane, you know, and that's really cool. What a lot of fun tonight. That sounds like I'm going to Toronto to do some stuff tonight, man. I'm wishing I'm stopping now on my way there and visit you guys.
Yeah, they're
going
to be St. Johnburg Fire Hall, yep. North Tonawanda, $15 tickets at the door. So, I mean, you can still pick up tickets. Bell time 6. Go check that out.
And these are the same guys that brought Kevin Nash in before, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah. So that's very, very cool. So you guys obviously being wrestling fans, WrestleMania is coming up. Are you getting psyched for that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's WrestleMania season.
Yeah. Now the question is, I see a lot of independents around say this is a good time to go down and hang out around Orlando for a week because you could get some work as well as you can get your face out there. Anyone taking trips down to Orlando? Or
not this year.
Yeah.
I am in Canada all weekend wrestling, so I can't go down there.
Oh.
I do know people that are going down there right now. Some people are working literally Tuesday all the way through until Sunday morning, and they're doing shows up, I think, until Sunday afternoon before the show starts. So, I mean, if you're heading down to Orlando and you've got the opportunity to go down, there's going to be plenty of companies running down there all week long. So it's going to be amazing. I think WrestleCon's going on down there, too.
Yeah, WrestleCon is. Yeah, yeah. So,
I was going to say, you'll have a lot of independents running, of course. WWE's doing all their events. You're going to have Ring of Honor.
Probably see Hardy's
their big event.
Hardy's
will
lose their title because they have an open contract from WWE now.
Yeah. Your son will just get bought out by WWE and they'll go.
I was going to say, yeah, then there's the whole rumors of, WWE and talks with Ring of Honor recently.
Yeah,
so.
I believe that, too.
I thought it was just for the library, though.
Yeah, but they're going to put their show on the WWE Network, too. That's one of the things they're negotiating. They're basically buying it out from Sinclair Broadcasting. So
that'd be awesome.
They're trying to. Now, that's been rumored going around. Sinclair won't comment on it. But when you hear it as loud as it's been heard this past week, then you
when
know.
When a company says straight up they won't comment and they won't deny it.
Yeah,
it's happening. Talks are happening.
and then John Cena posts a picture of Jay Lethal on his his 2.5 million Twitter followers.
John Cena, the consummate Twitter pro.
Yeah, he's
him and Donald
pro.
Trump.
Yeah. John Cena calls shots for people coming in all the time, though. That way, he did it with Kenny Omega too when they were trying to get Kenny Omega to sign in to build hype behind it, and then the photo magically disappeared after Kenny Omega was like, "There's no way in hell I'm coming out there."
Yeah. So my question is, who's the bigger tweeter? Is it John Cena or Donald Trump?
Oh, Donald Trump by far. I mean, who has real power in this world?
John Cena.
You hear that? You hear that, Steve Cena? If you're listening out here in town, I agree. You know, and the thing is, let's talk a little bit about WWE just for a second. Are you following like the storylines going up to WrestleMania?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about this whole Miz and Maryse versus John Cena and Nikki Bella? I mean, there's a lot of truth coming out from the Miz's side in these slams against him in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of hearsay truth. So I don't know in reality what's going on behind the stage, but they're letting them on. They're unleashing them to say some of the stuff that people were only hearing in whispers before. You know,
well, those are always the best storylines.
Absolutely,
though, the ones that are based in reality.
In the videos that have been shared for like the Talking Smack and stuff like that, where Miz is just going off, and then Maryse is just going off, and it's so great to watch it.
And normally I hate the campy stuff, but their parody of Total Bellas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the bed where we film our TV bed shots. You know, it's like he actually sleeps in another room and I sleep on the floor. It's like, what?
Miz showing up, spouting some, did you break random house rule number?
Yeah, that was very, very fun. But there's really a lot of truth behind that. And the thing is maybe the Miz versus John Cena a couple years ago at the main event of WrestleMania might have been a little bit better if he could have like used this kind of angle when he was building it up.
I agree.
I will say this, though. It does make you appreciate just how good The Miz is with when he's given something proper to do.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, and, you know, allow and, you know, and like I said, you know, it almost is like flowing from him, like, you know, almost truth like. And I mean, obviously, John Cena would not give open, you know, carte blanche to friggin' rip on his personal life like he's been, you know. But I mean, you know.
Well, with this whole thing, it tells you exactly what's going to happen at the end of that match.
Of course, like what the guy called up two months ago and said.
It's 100% going to happen. I can almost guarantee
he's
going
to get down on one knee at the end of the match, and he's going to propose to freaking Nikki Bella.
And she's going to say no.
Oh, she better.
Oh, my God. Heel turn, swerve.
I love that. This is the world of wrestling, man. It's like, you know, so that, you know, that's one time I've seen where the writers have actually done justice to an angle is that, building that up. Because there's a lot of things that are getting hot-shotted now into WrestleMania. That, like the whole AJ Styles, Shane McMahon. I don't know if you heard the story this past week, but they had offered Shawn Michaels to wrestle AJ Styles and because they said AJ didn't have anybody for him for WrestleMania. And then Shawn Michaels said, well, you know, if it was 10 years ago, I would have done it. You know, but yeah. It's not. So, and so now, so they're hot-shotting him to with Shane McMahon. I mean, is there, the build-up's a very short amount of time for this.
What killed me the most about that interview, it's that they reached out to him so long ago saying, we don't have someone for AJ. How do you not have someone for the guy that's been your marquee guy mm-hmm. for the last year? How does that happen?
I think there's been plenty of things that have happened over time, though, especially with injuries and stuff like that, that have kind of shuffled the deck for WrestleMania. You know, guys like Finn getting hurt, guys like Seth getting hurt. And I think that really kind of shuffled things up to the point where, okay, you know, now we've got like, oh, Roman Reigns has to face The Undertaker. You know, it's just like.
And that's kind of get hot shot, too. I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, I mean, there wasn't much past history to build up on that at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. And I mean,
the Royal Rumble, he knocked him out. Yeah.
Well, and then one of the guys you have been building, you still have nothing concrete for, Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he's still not officially penciled into anything right now.
He's probably going to end up in the Battle Royal. The Andre the Giant.
So, well, does that really mean anything? There's been 2 years now, and it's like no one's walking out with that big trophy every week, you know?
Well, Baron Corbin used to stand next to it before his match, but that was really it. Like, that was really the biggest thing, was he would just stand there with his arms crossed like he did at Mania, and it was like, okay, we get it.
And to me, Baron Corbin's been treading water for 6 months after that when they put him together with Dolph Ziggler. It's like, you know, they're going to have a guy win this and then lose every match against Dolph Ziggler for 6 months, you know? And then they take him off TV for a month and then bring him back and he's against Dolph Ziggler again. So it's.
Now, here's the thing about the WWE. They right now they definitely have the most talent on their roster physically that they have ever had at any point of the WWE's existence.
That's not just the WWE, though. That's even going all the way down to NXT.
Absolutely.
The amazing talent they have down there, too.
So my point is, if you have that much talent and you're not finding things for them to do, it's time to switch. You know, swap out that writing staff because something, I mean, a dead bird that just ran into a window could come up with something for AJ Styles.
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
I thought they were going to make it a three-way with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton in the end, and hopefully he would come out in the end with the championship. But
I think that's what all of us thought when it was when they were doing the Harper AJ match. You know, here we are, we're all thinking, okay, Orton gave up his number one contender spot, and I think the picture perfect WrestleMania moment would have been Randy Orton says, you know what? No, as long as Harper doesn't have the number one contender and he doesn't get his WrestleMania moment, I don't care. I'm not going to fight Bray Wyatt. So then he fights AJ Styles. Harper goes in and fights AJ Styles for the number one contendership. He wins that and then now earns his chance to go fight Bray Wyatt in the main event.
I mean,
and Orton goes, hey, that can't happen.
Yeah.
So he interjects and then turns it into a triple threat, and I think that would have been something that would have told a story.
Oh, without a doubt, and I think that's kind of like people were always hoping about that with the Shield, is eventually it turned into a three-way match for them against each other in a main event of WrestleMania. They were hoping for a long time for that. But, you know, it's confusing, you know, with some of the things they do. And they do have, you're right, Ron, they do have the greatest amount of talent they've ever had in that company. And it's amazing they can't. Now, some of you guys worked with AJ before. I mean, I know he's been in town here a couple times. And he's a great guy backstage, right? I mean, you know, he's willing to, you know, does he give you an opinion? Could you go up to him and say, what do you think about the match and stuff? And he'd, like, give you his opinion on things?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he like you said, he was a legitimately good guy. I mean, he was very open in talking to people. I know a few of us back then asked him, you know, if he could watch the match.
Always
and,
did.
Like, a lot of guys were asking him. And he
Always
sat
did.
There and he. He watched it and he gave his input and he was, you know, he wasn't demeaning about it. He was very
and it wasn't that generic advice that a lot of guys do. You're good, just you know, exactly.
work the
like
crowd.
Legitimately giving you specifics about the match and how it can be improved. So he really watched it from start to finish and gave you every detail of the match.
And I remember he was one of the biggest draws here in town when he came and worked for, I don't know if it was New Millennium or UPW. It might have been UPW at the Dome.
It was Upstate.
It was Upstate, yeah.
And that was, I remember that because it was like, I had talked to him on the phone that week, and it was interesting because he was at the playground with his kids, and one of his kids fell off something, and he goes, oh, my God, my kid's bleeding. And the phone, that interview ended right there. So
well, it's funny because he had known about Upstate, but he came in. And I was talking to him. I was like, hey, we have, you know, AJ, we have some merch tables over here. You know, if you wanted to sell some of your merch. He goes, well, I rode to the airport on my motorcycle, so I didn't bring any. He goes, if I would have known y'all drawn like that, he goes, I would have brought my car and brought a ton of gimmick to sell.
I remember he was working a couple of the first ballpark brawls there in Buffalo, too. And that's really when he was so free. He was really fresh. I mean, he's definitely filled out physically a little bit since then. And so,
wasn't this back when you guys scared the crap out of him at a gas station?
That was actually after that. Actually, that's when TNA showed up in Hamburg, New York, and did a show. Yeah, and him and Joe and Christopher Daniels and I think it was Kazarian were at a gas station filling up, and we were like, "Oh, AJ Styles," because we were in like the pump right next to him, and it's like, and then we talked to him about it later. He goes, "Oh, that was you guys." It's like, yeah, so we just screwed around. I mean, I don't know if he remembers us or not, but he's a good hand, and man, he deserves everything he's getting right now. That's for sure. Going to go to break on that. Going to give away these tickets here. Why don't we do it right now? You want to go to IWF this Friday in Brockport? I'm going to give away two pairs of tickets right now to caller 11 and caller 12. They'll be at the door, but you've got to call in right now at 222-1280, star 1280, and you're going to the show Friday night. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
After 31 years, 10 minutes before I go out live, Triple H hands me index cards. I'm Mick freaking Foley.
Now AJ Styles, SmackDown plummets. Without AJ Styles, SmackDown social media crashes. Just like Shane McMahon going through a car window.
It's only a matter of time, Karen, before your family, the Jarrett family, is gone from Impact Wrestling forever.
You know what? We look great on top of our bed, John.
What's that, darling light of my life?
The SmackDown Women's Championship.
Now, Nikki. I'm afraid that's your second strike today. You have just violated rule number 8 of John Cena's house rules. Never ask me to advance your career when the cameras are rolling. Tisk, tisk.
You attack me when I wasn't looking. You snuck attack me. And before that, AJ, well, whatever your issue is with me, I assure you, your issue just got worse.
Hey, this is Natty Neidhart, first third-generation female wrestler in the world, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain. Yeah, baby.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Danger Boy, Double B, Brian Burke, DC Dan Cole. We're joined in the studio by Ron Falco, Eric Emanon, Mark House from IWF this Friday night, Brockport. The show is, and thank you guys for coming up. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
No, it's always fun to talk. And so this is a show that it's coming up this Friday. You got a lot of shows planned for the summer coming up, or
Our next show after this is at the end of May, and I'm actually looking at a big show in July in Batavia, bringing in some names, and you know that'll start unfolding. After this show, so I'll have more details as we get closer.
And you guys, and you work with a lot of the guys. I mean, Ron, you work with Mike in town here with Upstate Pro Wrestling, as well too. So we'll see you on those shows too. He's got coming up, including the have the another ballparks and home runs, or what's it called? The ball? What's it?
Ballpark brawls.
Headlocks and home runs.
Headlocks and home runs. Yeah. I get them confused.
I haven't worked with Mike in over a year. You know, he's doing his thing. I'm doing my thing, but you know, he is. him and Caden are my tag team champions.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It was just around his birthday too, and he looked great, man. I was telling him that. It's like, wow. You know, he didn't get older, he gets better. And I think we all do, you know.
It's crazy to see how good a shape he got in the past 2 years. It's like literally how does Mike look better than a majority of the guys that are like half his age.
I mean that's the thing. I mean, a lot of the guys just don't put in the gym time.
Absolutely.
And you know, you say what you want about Mike, you love him, hate him, whatever. I mean, but one thing I can say about Mike is he's dedicated to what he does.
Yeah. He physically breaks his back for this business.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, is this guy is he's been one of those people that I remember I went to his first show. Like I was telling them, I was at the first ever Kayfabe Dojo show.
Yeah.
The outdoor one where they couldn't go inside the venue because the ceilings were too low for the ring that they had.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've from the beginning, like, I've watched the progression not only of Kayfabe Dojo into UPW, into NWA, back into UPW. Like, I've watched that whole progression not only as a fan, but then as a worker.
Yeah.
And I've seen a guy like him just, like, he's had the amazing ability of being able to reinvent himself when he needs to make himself what is hot on the scene at that time, and he's done a great job of doing it.
I think his in-ring work actually is the best I've ever seen. And I mean, Hellcat, Mike Rosario, however you want to call him, he has been the one, other than the Pain Clinic, the one constant in Rochester wrestling for the last 20 years.
Absolutely.
Oh, without a doubt. And it's, I remember meeting, I mean, he used to, when we first started doing the show, it's like probably, I don't know, within a year of us doing it, him and Barry Hardy were coming up every weekend to promote their shows and stuff. And there was a guy named Zolomon. I don't know if you remember him. He was like a manager. I know it takes me back. It's like shows my age. But there was, and then, of course, like I said, Killer Kowalski Jr. was up here promoting once. And it was a lot of fun. We did get to see the guys a lot. And, you know, and of course, back then we had this guy named Dr. Love who was our host. And he kind of went to the shows and wanted to get back into it. He kept telling me he wanted to get back into it. Now he's just too thin to get back into it. So, but that's cool. You know, it's history in this town has been, you know, I mean, and by the way, I think, Mike should be in his own Hall of Fame. I should be in the Rochester Wrestling Hall of Fame. I say that all the time because he should have been number one in there, you know, number one guy in there because he kept it alive. He kept it alive in this town when, you know, there was a peak when there was three groups and then there was back to one. And it's been going up and down for years like that. So, but he's always been a constant and putting on great shows and training these new kids out there, you know. You know, so yeah, give them nothing but props. But you guys, I mean, Ron, your show is employing guys. You know, when you first got into this business, did you think, hey, I want to be I want to come out, I want to run the show. I mean, I want to, you know, direct what's going on. I want to be the booker.
Absolutely not.
yeah, I know, because you know what the headaches that come with it too, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of headaches. I mean, you get things coming at you from different angles. And before I started booking, I would watch Hellcat. I'd be like, man, why is this guy so strung out all the time? Why is he so tense all the time? And man, I get it. Holy God.
It's like running a daycare, right?
Yeah, daycare of adults.
Daycare of adults, you know. And they all want, you know, you're putting together a show and you're trying to balance out the matches through the night and everything and make your best guess on what's going to pop the crowd. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like when WWE does a pay-per-view, you know. Basically, they're booking the show and they're saying, okay, now it's time we put the women's match in to slow everything down a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize there are peaks, valleys, spikes. I mean, when you put a card together, you don't just list the matches. I mean, there is a way of doing it. You know, you start out with a faster pace match to get, you know, to get the crowd up on their feet. And, you know, you're not going to put 200, 400 pound guys to start the show because people are going to go get a beer.
And they can do some sweet luchador. Come on.
Yeah, they could do like drop kicks off the top corner, you know?
See, the thing is,
you don't want to kill anybody.
I've always looked at booking shows. Like, I feel like shows have to be booked like your favorite matches or your best matches, you know, much like the best matches in wrestling. You know, the show has to be built the same way. There has to be that, you know, the crowd's getting exactly what you want, and then there's going to be the bad guy that comes in and just takes it all away from the crowd, and then the crowd hates all the bad guys for the rest of the night at that point, you know. And then it's just, I feel like the booking is much like a match, the going through a match and like looking at it fully. You know, once you get to the end, you're either going to do one of two things. Either the good guy's going to win and set the crowd happy, or the bad guy's going to win and make the crowd want to see them, you know, come back next month and watching me get the crap kicked out of them, you know?
It's like sex. There's a spot for everything.
Okay. Ron, I was going to say, being the booker and everything, do you actually you pair people up at times, or do you, they come to you and say, listen, I want to work with this guy. I think we can tear the house down, you know? I mean, and you look at their abilities and you weigh them out as to, you know, will these guys put on a good match? Where will they fall on the card and
I'll
stuff
fight
like
anybody.
That?
Well, it's a little of both. I mean, you know, I'll have a lot of the guys that'll come up, hey, I want to work this guy, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then I'll have, you know, more experienced guys like Eric and Mark, and I'll be like, man, you know, they could really elevate this guy to the next level. And so you kind of, you know, it's twofold. I mean, you get it both ways, but the end result is the crowd has to buy into it. And if I don't think they're going to buy into it, I mean, I know a lot of times the guys will disagree with me or I'll disagree with them, but if they're vehement about it, I mean, you know, I've always liked to give the guys freedom, so I try to do that as much as possible.
Well, it's got
to
be even tougher when you got new people coming to watch your show your every month. They don't know what the storyline was from the show before. So to just keep those things going, besides your core audience, that makes it even more difficult.
Well, it's tough because you don't have as many hours a week of TV as like the WWE, so you got to kind of remind people what happened 4, 5, 6 weeks earlier. So unfortunately, you might have a show that's heavy in the promo segment,
yep.
which is brought, you know, just is to remind people of what happened previously and kind of draw them back in.
Yeah, and it's good when you guys do that because you get up there and you say, you might remember last week this punk came out and freaking tried to break yeah. my knee, you know. And I mean, I think that's great because you are getting new faces in there and everything.
I think he's talking about you, Eric.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to go for Eric's knee.
Yeah,
I can start writing for you. All right. Hey, we got to go to break on that. Guys, thank you so much for coming up. We're going to do a real quick news segment on the flip side, but you guys definitely please hang around. I want to let people know that the address is 4400 Sweden Walker Road, Brockport, New York. And you put it on your map, 14420. That's Friday, April 31st. Starts at 7 p.m., goes to about 10. Come on out and see these guys, you know, leave their hearts in the middle of the ring for you because that's what they do every show. And like I said, there's not a bad seat in the house. You can pay hundreds of dollars for when WWE comes to town in June, but you can pay the maximum price, I think it's $15 for a front row seat. And you're gonna and you might even be part of the match eventually if someone gets you know thrown just a little too hard or and I heard if a wrestler actually a woman wrestler lands in your lap you can take her home like a baseball game.
If it's Alexa Bliss, I'm newly separated, Alexa. You're more than welcome at my house when you're in town.
Yeah. Past couple shows, I've been thinking somebody could be going home with Tylicious.
Oh no, no, thank you. All right, we're gonna go to a break. We'll be back with a real quick news segment. I want to thank these guys, IWF, for coming here. Don't forget, like I said, it's Friday, March 31st. Shamrocks and Headlocks out at 4400 Sweden Walker Road in Brockport. Do not miss it. You're listening to the Pink Link right now on Fox Sports 1280.
Listen, you know what? Daniel Bryan's right. You're not like the rest of the McMahons. You're not like them. And for that, I'm going to be a man about this. I'm going to come in the ring, look you in the eyes, sincerely tell you I'm sorry. And shake your hand, okay? Everybody, all right?
This is Samoa Joe, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Double B Brian Burke, Danger Boy. We are joined in the studio by IWF wrestlers Ron Falco, Eric Eminon, Mark House, and they'll be wrestling this Friday night for you in Brockport. And we'll do that address one more time, but we got to get some news out of the way real quick. Hey, the go-home show for SmackDown for WrestleMania 33 is going to have the main event of Luke Harper versus Bray Wyatt. So I hope this isn't the highest profile match Luke Harper is going to get, including WrestleMania, but he will be in the main event this Tuesday coming up, and hopefully we'll see him in Rochester when they come June 6th. Get this. Jim Cornette's inducting Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson into the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, Jim Cornette, I don't know if they can trust the guy, but I mean, you know, honestly.
Jim Cornette, live mic, this could get good.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, I think I want to watch it now that it's been announced, because I know we've had Jim on the show a couple times, and man, he's just nuts. But he's logical. He's got a wrestling mind, and he hates Vince Russo. And Danger Boy, what do you think about that, man? I mean, this is like two guys. I mean, you know, he was the guy with the Midnight Express. He was the guy against
them. He always said that despite whatever problems he had, and his problems were mostly in WWE with Kevin Dunn, that he would induct, or he would be there if the Midnight Express ever went in, and I'm pretty sure it goes, I mean, he feuded with the Rock and Roll Express for 15 years. He brought him into Smoky Mountain when he was running it and all that stuff. It's really good to actually see them do this and reach out to him. I hope he tells some Ricky Morton rat stories, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, it always tells you that nothing's for sure in the WWE. You might tick them off, but they'll remember you when they need you for something like this. Some sad news this past week. Jim Ross lost his wife, Jan. She was riding a Vespa, her Vespa motorbike back from the gym and wasn't wearing a helmet and got hit by a 17-year-old guy in a Cadillac. And she had such pretty bad brain damage that she passed away from it. It's pretty sad.
That's sad to hear.
It's sad, but it is a PSA. Man, always wear your helmet if you're out there.
Yeah, that was one of the things he pointed out too, and it's really sad. I mean, he's a great guy too, Jim, and it's like the light of his life. I mean, Jim, we're with you, man. Good luck with everything, you know. And I mean, he's still got to continue on and do life, and it's, I don't know how to deal with something like that. You know?
He has even come out and said, you know, despite everything going on, he's still planning on being in Orlando.
Yeah, I saw that. He said we'll
everything
see.
Going on in the coming weeks.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one, man. You know, I mean, he's got a lot of good friends in this business and everything. But looks like, so real quickly, Hall of Fame inductions. We're going to see Kurt Angle inducted by John Cena, DDP by Eric Bischoff, Beth Phoenix by Natalya, Teddy Long by JBL and Ron Simmons. Damn. And the Rock and Roll Express, of course, Jim Cornette. And they didn't say Rick Rude yet, but that's going to be an interesting night there, coming up the Friday night before the WrestleMania. So it's going to be on the live on the network, too. I got Matt and Jeff Hardy have contracts open from the WWE for them. They're a short-term contract with Ring of Honor right now. So that and, of course, if Ring of Honor gets bought, there's rumors Ring of Honor is getting bought by WWE. So who knows where they will go. But we know one thing is they're not allowed to use the Matt Hardy story created in TNA. And so it's kind of up in the air how they would bring him in.
Is that official now?
I don't know. I mean, they weren't using him last weekend. So they came out as Matt and Jeff Hardy at the Ring of Honor show.
But could we still have a Vanguard 1 flyby?
That may happen.
The stadium on Sunday.
That would be very cool. Yeah, fly over. You know, when the jet goes by, you have Vanguard 1 follow.
Vanguard 1 tailing behind.
Well, slowly.
The only other news, John Cena's American Grit's going to be starting June 11th on Fox. It came back for another season. We got to get out of here. So come on out to the show. That's right, the IWF Shamrocks and Headlocks. That would be this Friday at 7 p.m., Brockport Elks Lounge, 4400 Sweden Walker Road, Brockport, New York. Come on out. Check out these guys. They leave their heart in the ring for you. Thank you guys for coming down today.
Thank you.
And we'll do this again real soon. We got to get out of here. Thank you, everybody else. We're out of here, man. Have a great week, and body slam someone you love.
The tournament season is upon us, and here at Fusillo Hyundai of Greece, the customer always wins. Hey, folks, Tom Parker.